Hey, Bailey,
Yeah.
what does a nosy pepper do?
Smell things?
Gets all up in your
Oh
business.
my God, that was so bad.
Welcome to Wait, What Just Happened? I'm Terrence Pinkston.
And I'm Bailey Riddle.
Later in the show, we have an interview with Alex Lohman, a public defender in Southern Florida, on what the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris victory means for women across the world. But first, welcome to a brand new podcast. And this is kind of our long-term project. And we are so excited to be doing this show. If you guys know what we've dealt with behind the scenes just to get this thing off of the ground, you'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're still doing it. Needless to say, no matter how long you've been podcasting, there are technical difficulties and still stuff I can't even figure out.
The realm of technology, it's very mystifying sometimes.
So this show is a long-term project for us. You know, we've been doing just a niche podcasting in the past for God knows how long, and we're just so excited to be doing this show. And we were kind of thinking like, oh my God, what are we going to do for a new show? What could we possibly talk about? And geez, there's just a lot of things happening in the world right now that make us stop in our normal day-to-day lives and ask, wait, what just happened? Or gosh, did that really happen?
Yeah, like the world is just so crazy right now. And, you know, between the virus and the election and everything that's been going on in 2020, like there's just so many things that they feel like they're not even real. Like it doesn't seem like that could be happening in the modern society we live in. And yet you look at the news, you watch the television, and it's like, oh my goodness, what just happened?
Well, I figured for the audience to kind of get to know us, I mean, chances are you probably already know us if you're listening to this show, but if you're a very new listener and hearing these two voices for the very first time, thank you. I hope we haven't scared you off yet. But I wanted to ask, what is something that most people don't know about you?
I waffled back and forth and I came up with two things. So my first thing is that I am very into cars, and a lot of that comes from the fact that I kind of grew up around the car business. So my mom worked in the finance office, my aunt is a service advisor, my uncle's a mechanic, my father's a mechanic. So between all of that, I grew up in and around car dealerships and spent quite a lot of time there growing up. My second thing is that I am ridiculously obsessed with Hallmark Christmas movies, and judge me all you want, I really don't care. Life is better when it's Hallmark Christmas movie season.
How many have you watched so far this year?
I'd say it's like upwards of 40 at least.
Oh my god, 40? I didn't even know there was 40 Hallmark movies.
There's 40 new Hallmark movies in 2020 alone. And they're all filmed during the pandemic, which just makes it even that more impressive.
I know there's a few of them that I've watched in the past that have kind of made me be like, oh, that was a cute movie, or that was a cute story, you know, and I don't know. I haven't watched any this year, but that's awesome that you've watched 40. Holy cow, I don't think I've even watched 40 movies this year, even in quarantine. that's quite an achievement.
I'll just put them on the weekend when I'm cleaning, and you know, like they're quick, they're precise and to the point. Like it's 2 hours and then it's done. And full disclosure, I have one on in the background on mute, and I am reading the subtitles as we record this.
Oh my goodness. Well, something that people don't know about me, unless they really know me and have known me for many years, is that I used to have my eyebrow pierced. Can you see that? Can you picture that?
I honestly can't.
Yeah, I was one of those bad boys that had their eyebrow pierced and had the I'm holding it up because the visual cues really work well on an audio podcast. But I'm holding up my hands, and the type of piercing that I had, or the type of ring that I had, it had two dice on the very end of it. So, you know, I thought I was all cool and badass, you know, in my early 20s. And I was like, hey, yeah, I got my eyebrow pierced. What's up? And, you know, all that good stuff. But I eventually took it out and decided to kind of move on. But that was kind of like my rebellious thing. And it really didn't hurt whenever I got it.
But did you pierce it yourself?
No, I did not go full on rat race and pierce my own eyebrow. That would have been painful. I don't think I can do that. I don't have the stomach for it. That's it. I'm a pansy.
Oh, man. When I was maybe like 13 years old, I pierced my own tongue.
Oh, my Jesus. What?
Yeah, that was a thing that happened.
Okay, on accident, or you really intended to do it?
Oh, no, on purpose, like with a safety pin.
Ah,
I kept it for all the week, and then I was like, too much trouble trying to hide it.
Oh my God, I can't even. I'm sticking my tongue out right now. I can't even imagine that. Well, this show is topics recommended by you guys, the listener. We really want to talk about whatever interests you guys with whatever's happening right now in the world or in your own bubble. Kind of has made you think, wait, what just happened? You know, you try to process it. And that's what I feel like that's what we're going to do a lot on this show, is just try to make sense of things. We really want your input. And this show is going to be, a lot of the topics are going to be generated by you guys out there. And we do have a dummy email address up right now until we get the show up and running on its own. And it's waitwhatjusthappenedpod@gmail.com. And feel free to send in your suggestions on what we should discuss. Okay, Bailey, we know that you're watching, you've watched 40 Hallmark Christmas movies this year. But what are you binging, a TV show right now in between Hallmark movies, or are you
when the rare occasion, well, it's not that rare these days, but when I've seen a movie that's currently on, I switch over to Netflix and I am binging through Schitt's Creek currently. So I am season 4 or 5-ish. I don't know. It's been a while since I have watched an episode because I've been fully engulfed in Hallmark movies, but I have really been enjoying Schitt's Creek. And if you have not checked it out, which I feel like I was one of the last people in the world to check it out, you definitely should, because it is hilarious in a what the fuck am I watching kind of way.
I heard it won a couple of Emmys.
A couple is putting it lightly. It swept every single acting category this year, which is just mind-blowing. I think that's like maybe the second time that's happened in history.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So it
definitely
won for,
award-worthy.
It won for 2019 or for 2020?
For 2020, it won, at minimum, I think it won a couple others besides these, but it won Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actress, and Best Supporting Actress for a comedy TV show.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I know there was a couple of episodes that I stumbled in on. I think my wife was watching it at one point, and she got maybe through season 3 or something like that. To tell you the truth, I don't know if she actually finished watching it, but I found a couple of episodes and I was like, oh, this seems okay. This seems pretty funny. And, you know, but nothing really kind of pulled me in. I guess I got to go back to episode 1 and really watch it from then and, you know, see if I can really get into it.
Yeah. Like, I was a little iffy at first, and it's definitely, like, I would say it's not for everyone. People are really divided on if they love it or if they just can't stand it, but it's extremely funny in a really strange way.
Well, the show that I've recently binged, and I happened on it by thinking it was a movie. Because, okay, so my whole thing before we get into what I'm watching, I love TV shows and I love watching them, right? And I love binging. There's been a habit, especially over the past year, you know, now that we've kind of, at least in my industry, have gone back to work and things like that, and I don't have as much time to dedicate to television as I would like, I find myself kind of bouncing back and forth between shows. Well, whenever I sit down and watch something or want to watch something, I want to watch it from its start to its finish. I want there to be a start and a finish. I don't want there to be a start cliffhanger and then another cliffhanger and then boom, season two. You know, that's not how I want to consume television right now. And I guess, I don't know, call me old fashioned. But with this particular show, I watched the trailer, or I guess the autoplay that Netflix has, that feature, that dumb little feature that I can't figure out how to turn off. But I was watching, I was listening to it, and then the picture came on, and I was like, oh, this seems pretty interesting. And, you know, after that little snippet finished, I was like, oh yeah, let me go ahead and, you know, watch it. So I clicked on it, and I didn't think that it was a series or anything like that. I watched it for like an hour, and it ended the first episode. And at the end of the first episode, I'm like, wait, what? What just happened? Am I like, is this a TV show? Is this, I thought it was, you know, seriously, I thought it was a movie, but it was only like seven episodes long, and I was able to binge through it pretty easy. But I love this story. And The Queen's Gambit it's a fictional story that follows the life of an orphan chess prodigy, Beth Harmon, during her quest to become the world's greatest chess player while struggling with emotional problems and drug and alcohol dependency. The story begins in the mid-1950s and then kind of works its way through the 1960s. And it's real. It has a really, really solid story. And Anya Taylor-Joy, who plays Beth Harmon, is such a wonderful actress.
Yeah, I have seen so many previews and like good reviews of this show, and it's definitely on my watch list, especially when I logged into Netflix the other day and saw that it was number one in the most watched in America right now. Like, that's just incredible, especially for such a new show.
Yeah, and what really surprised me, I mean, us both being Harry Potter fans, was that Harry Melling, who plays Dudley Dursley in the Harry Potter films, he is cast as Harry Beltic, a champion player Beth defeats in her first tournament, and then she later befriends. I was really surprised by Harry Melling's acting. I hadn't seen him in anything outside of Harry Potter, and just his range. I mean, he speaks with an American accent instead of, you know, his classic English accent. He does it very, very well. And he's just so into his character. You can tell that he let this particular character consume him to where, gosh, I believe that he was this great chess champion, and that, you know, he displays a wide range of emotions throughout the series. And I just didn't know Harry Melling had that kind of range, and I was very impressed with him.
Well, yeah, now I feel like I have to move it to the top of my watch list.
There you go, you should. Yeah, binge it in about a day. Like I said, only about seven episodes long or so. Okay, moving on, we have our next segment, Wait, What Just Happened? And this is kind of a what the fuck news kind of segment. Case in point, the first story we have for you guys here. The police are searching for a man who gave strangers COVID hugs in Walmart. Yes, as messed up as that sounds, that actually happened. And it happened in Springfield, Massachusetts. And the surveillance of the guy caught him wearing a black t-shirt, camouflage shorts, and wearing a mask. And that's what kind of sets this whole thing off, is that he's wearing a mask, he has COVID, but yet he's giving people hugs. So, like, I don't add up. Yeah, exactly. During one of the hostile hugs, reported he took an item out of a cancer survivor's hand to hold him close. He told the victim, just giving you a COVID hug. I mean, like, really, how fucked up is that?
Yeah, like, as if this year hasn't given us enough to stress about and worry about. Like, now you have to worry about going to the store and someone giving you a hug. Like, going to the store is stressful enough as it is.
The guy just laughed and walked away. He's being sought for charges of assault and battery and making terroristic threats. So I hope this guy is caught.
Yeah, like, what really doesn't add up here is that he's wearing a mask trying to supposedly give people COVID. Like, if you want to do the job right, so to speak, like, shouldn't you not be wearing a mask?
Yeah, there's a lot of holes in that particular story, but that, you know, whenever it comes down to it, and I hope the guy didn't have COVID himself and was just being so irresponsible and passing it along to these other people. So, people nowadays. The next story that we have is intruder breaks into man's home and tidies up, scrubs toilets, and leaves a mystery. Imagine this. You come home from work. And you find your house clean and scrubbed, you know, top the floor. And well, this gentleman who came home was expecting a messy house, and he was shocked that it had been cleaned. Like, I don't quite, there has to be some sort of a mix up here, because not everybody that I know, I mean, not anybody that I know has fantasies of breaking into houses and cleaning them. I don't get it.
Yeah, in the article, if you read it, it mentions that it's extremely likely that the prior homeowner had a maid service, and you know, they have the key on file. It's extremely possible that they put the wrong address on the schedule for that day. So I guess the moral of the story here is, if you buy a new house, change your locks, otherwise you might randomly get your house cleaned. Like, that doesn't sound awful, but it could also be bad. You know, what's to say that someone at the maid service isn't taking keys of customers that no longer have their services, and they're trying to rob their homes?
I mean, heaven forbid. Really, I don't want anybody coming in, scrubbing my toilets and leaving little toilet paper roses.
I don't want anyone to see my house when it's messy. Like, that's why I don't have someone clean my house as it is. Like, I would feel like I have to clean before the cleaner can come.
All right, Monica, slow down. Monica Geller from Friends.
I can't help it.
Oh my goodness. Well, here's another one that made me cringe, and this being a guy kind of thing, it's even tough to talk about, and I'm just kind of tensing up thinking about it. But a man who went to a hospital for a bladder procedure instead had his foreskin removed after staff got him confused with another patient in a shocking mix-up. I don't understand how this stuff happens.
Yeah, like, it really doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I've had surgery, a couple people in my family have had surgery, and like, every step of the way, there's always like confirmation that they're doing the right procedure and that they're doing it on the right portion of your body, if it's just like one side or the other. So they, you know, yes, it is supposed to be on the left side, and they'll mark it like an X on the left, on your left hand, to make sure that they know that that's the side of your body that's getting the surgery. So like, this is just so weird to me to even think that not only did they not like confirm, but that they actually went through with the procedure.
Apparently in this case, X didn't mark the spot.
I mean, I guess you could look on the bright side and say, well, at least, you know, they didn't like chop off this man's leg. Like, it was foreskin.
And to be honest with you, I mean, yeah, it's, as a guy, why wouldn't you want that done anyway? I mean, yes, you wouldn't want to go through the whole painful experience of doing it. But like, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to being circumcised, of which I'm not going to go into right now. But, you know, WebMD, look it up for guys. And even if you're curious and getting it done yourself, you know, that's something. But apparently this hospital has had a history of kind of messing up. It's also revealed in a report that a swab was left inside of a child after nasal surgery. In another report, a patient also had surgery intended for another man with a similar name, and one person had a hip implant on the wrong side. So wouldn't want to go to this hospital at all. And this is Leicester, and in England, I think it is.
Hip implants, absolutely, 2 for the price of 1. Oh yeah, definitely not gonna sign up to go to that hospital anytime soon.
All right, coming up next, we have our interview with Alex Lohman on what the election win means for women. So joining us on the podcast today, we have Alex Lohman, a public defender. Her specialty is working with kids in Southern Florida. Alex, welcome to the first ever episode of Wait, What Just Happened?
Thank you. I am extremely excited, and I just, I think this is a really cool concept, especially when what's going on in the world. I feel like most of us are asking us ourselves, like, what just happened? And so I'm really excited to be here and to kind of process it with you. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So women have shattered the glass ceiling after glass ceiling, and they've broken barrier after barrier in the past 100 years. And the mark is set even further, obviously. But perhaps the biggest one coming this past Tuesday, when more than 75 million Americans so far have said yes to Kamala Harris as the next vice president of the United States. Take a moment. Like, how does that even begin to sink in?
It doesn't. I'm still kind of in disbelief about it. Talking about the glass ceilings that we've shattered, I mean, Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court, we've had women in political office, we've had so many milestones, but this, I think, is one of the biggest, and it still hasn't hit me yet. And I'm still kind of numb, but I'm still joyful and elated that we're on the map. At some point, it's going to hit me, but I'm just going to keep smiling like an idiot, walking around and just taking it all in.
How big of a win is this for women all over the world?
I think it's huge, especially since, you know, when we were back in 2008, we were talking about electing the first African American Black president of the United States. And we were talking about women at that time too, but it wasn't as pervasive. And I remember being back in 2008 and having so many countries that we allied with, that we partnered with, who had elected women. And it was, why hadn't the leader of the free world been a woman yet? And I think now here we are. And are we at the POTUS title? No, but we're at the VP title. And dang, if that ain't close enough right now. And so I think it sends a message to the global community of women, of girls, of female identifying individuals that you can too. And I think the United States was kind of the last bastion for women to see themselves on the stage and as fully equal. And we're there. And it's huge. And I wish I was more articulate about what I think this means to so many women and girls. You know, we've been looking at countries, we've been looking at international organizations, and we've seen women all around, and we've held the United States up as the example, but women haven't been the example in our history. And now we finally are. And it's just, I'm speechless. I'm absolutely speechless.
So why is Kamala Harris's win so important to not only women, but to minorities as well?
I think it's kind of twofold. I think it's important to women for obvious reasons, but I think to minorities, it is huge. Not just because Kamala Harris identifies as biracial, she identifies as a Black woman, she identifies as an Asian, a Southeast Asian woman, but at the intersection of being a woman, and not only a woman, but being a minority woman in America, you want to talk about some hurdles. She's had pretty much every hurdle thrown at her, and dang, if that girl didn't kick down some doors. And I think what's huge about that is to not only say women are enough. Yes, we are saying yes to women, but we are saying yes to women that we have said no to for so long, down to our roots of, you know, racism and disenfranchisement, and giving women the right to vote and giving women access to contracts. And, you know, we talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and such in her recent passing. We talk about before Ruth Bader Ginsburg, when women didn't have really the right to contract without their husbands. We couldn't apply for a credit card. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg really took the stage in like the 60s and 70s. That's not that long ago. So you imagine a white woman championing for those rights for a white woman like myself. And then you add on minority status or Blackness to the status of being a woman. And you realize, dang, 30 years ago, I as a white woman earned somewhat my place in this society. And now here we are. And it took us that long to get there. And it only took Kamala so long. I mean, I'm not going to say only took so long, because I cannot imagine the amount of pressure and hate and just endurance she had to go through to get to where she is. And I'm not going to diminish that at all. But to go from that point, so here we are now in 2020. It's truly remarkable. And I hope for every minority woman and girl who's looking at Kamala, they're realizing, like, as much as it's my woman as a time, it is your woman as a minority woman in America. And I know that our culture is so rough and our country is really kind of unpredictable and unstable right now. But I hope that there's some stability in knowing that you see yourself and you can too. And I will never know that experience, but I can only imagine that the feeling is absolutely incredible.
You referenced on your Instagram story, and that's what got me thinking about this whole topic and discussing it on the show today. You were really directing your Instagram story to your nieces and what you could tell them, you know, in the future, what they could possibly experience about these barriers being broken, these ceilings being shattered, and what they could potentially do as a young girl and as a woman. Let me ask you, why do you think it took America this long to kind of finally do what it did? I mean, we've had major strides in, you know, in gay rights and transgender rights over the past, you know, 10 years, but women have always kind of seemed on the back burner. Like, why do you think it took our country so long to kind of acknowledge that, yes, we're ready for a woman vice president?
What's interesting, so as you mentioned, I'm a lawyer. I work in public defense, and we look at lawyers as being pretty progressive. We look at the law as being at the edge of society. We're pushing society forward. But if you actually take a step back and you look at many professional industries, you realize that women's rights, women's access to maternity leave, to equal pay, to all these things have been so suppressed for so long. And I think as a society, for as long as it's taken us, we, both men and women, have been okay accepting that. I remember growing up, and my mom was a frontier. She is a pilot. She was one of the first, I want to say badass, but she was one of the first female pilots who's going out and who was racing and who was, you know, breaking speed limits and barriers. And even that woman who grew up in a male dominated field and made her mark told me growing up that there are certain things that you're going to have to accept as a woman because you are a woman. And I know it hurt her to say that, but that was the narrative and the culture that we grew up in. And maybe there's some tiny silver lining to COVID and to a lot of the disruption that we've seen in racial politics and gender politics too. But maybe because our world has been so flipped upside down, we've been willing to say, maybe the norm shouldn't be the norm anymore. And maybe that's it. I can't explain what the magic silver bullet was. I think it took us so long because we were comfortable. Even as a woman, I was comfortable saying, you know what? I'm just going to have to work twice as hard because I'm a woman. And I realized that I shouldn't. I'm just as bright as my male colleagues. I work just as hard as my male colleagues. And I shouldn't have to settle for, well, I'll just work twice as hard to get where they are. And maybe that's the whole world being flipped upside down in a very uncomfortable way. I mean, a lot of us are struggling. So I'm not going to sit on here and say, COVID's a godsend. Like, no, God, no, I'm not going to say that at all. But if we are going to search for deeper reasons why we're pushing the envelope on, you know, racial injustice and why we're pushing the envelope on women in society and politics, maybe it's because our whole world has been flipped upside down and we've been forced to face some uncomfortable truths about who we are. That's really the best explanation I can come up with. I think a lot of people are saying, you know, we're finally at the point where the straw broke the camel's back, or we're at a point where we're comfortable as a society. And maybe I see a little bit of truth in that, but I think sometimes it takes us being so uncomfortable with who we are and what we're doing to confront the ugly truths. And I think that's more, we have just been so disrupted that we have finally had to confront the skeletons in the American closet.
So what kind of a message does this send to women and young girls around the world about this wonderful win?
Gosh, I think it, you know, the obvious is that it's your time. You referenced kind of what I was saying on social media, on Instagram. I literally just broke down and cried on Instagram because I felt like it was telling my nieces, it's your time. And I, you know, I spoke about my 3-year-old niece telling her mom that, mom, why is it all boys? And when she, you know, she got to see a woman be a part of the stage, and I wanted her to know it's her time. But I also think it sends a message that, yes, it's your time, but it also sends a message of don't accept no, or don't accept not yet. I project that as a little bit personal for me. I've always wanted to kind of be a mover and a shaker, whether that be in the law, whether that be in politics, whether that be in just, I don't know, hanging out with some kids in foster care. I don't know. That's just who I've been. But I've always been kind of comfortable accepting, well, maybe it's not my time. Maybe I need to wait. Maybe I need to play nice. You know, even as a lawyer, I think about my moves in a courtroom as a woman. Do I come off aggressive? Do I come off bitchy, for lack of a better term? And these are things that my male colleagues don't really have to think about. They're, you know, oh, you're doing your job. You're a zealous advocate. And so I think what it right now, it also says to women is, don't let your female womanness stand in the way, because you are equal. You can be who you want to be regardless of gender or sexual orientation. And so I think on kind of a deeper level, it sends to women and girls around the world, don't accept the status quo. And maybe, at least for me, it's really confronted that I a lot of goals that I've wanted to achieve, I've always been said, but you know what, maybe when I'm a little older, things will be different. Or maybe when this happens, it'll be different. And Kamala's victory kind of tells me, don't accept that, go fight for it and see what happens. And I'm really interested to see what women will do after this.
Definitely be the change that you want to see. Just don't accept social norms. Don't accept the status quo. You know, break the status quo. You set the status quo, what the new status quo is. It's your journey. It's your life. And, you know, you choose to kind of bring this out and make things better for women all over the world, because this is sending a strong message to women all over the world that the most powerful nation is ready for this next step. Now, the work itself isn't done by any means. And speaking of the next step, what is the next step? What does Vice President-elect Harris have to do while in office to send a clear message that women and minority groups are ready for the next step of either occupying more seats in Congress or even being elected to the presidency?
I think it's an interesting question. When you posed this, I thought a lot about it. I was so excited that we had broken this barrier that I hadn't really asked myself, okay, like we've kicked down the front door, so what's next? We can't just stand in the doorway. We have to do something with the opportunity we're given. And I think there are, you know, some obvious answers about making sure that we're still continuing to promote women access to campaign resources, access to employment opportunities, all these different things that I know Kamala Harris stands for. But what I really think, and I actually had this conversation with a colleague of mine and wasn't a widely popular opinion, but what I do think it's really going to take is that in such a divided nation, and we are so polarized right now, if you really want to stand for the proposition that women belong, you support women from the Democratic Party, you support them from the Republican Party. You support all the way right when you don't agree with them. Our most recent Supreme Court justice, I don't agree with about 90% of what she stands for. But there is another woman on the Supreme Court. And my hero, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, told us there would be enough when there are 9. And we have another woman on the bench. And that means something to me. And I think if a Vice President-elect Harris really wanted to think forward about women's place in politics in this country, she would be working to include women, regardless of their political views, into the fabric. Because as much as we can disagree, discourse and disagreement is what creates ideas and what creates progress. If we are all stagnant and just the same, we are just that. We don't move forward. And I think what people have missed in how harsh our political climate has become is that unpopularity and dissent push forward sometimes bad ideas, sometimes good ideas, or that bad ideas ignite fervent beliefs in good ideas or in doctrine that we need to push forward. Dissent is a very powerful tool. And women can dissent too. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the most famous dissenter of our time. And she stood in stark contradiction to what Sandra Day O'Connor stood for. Kamala Harris is going to stand in stark contradiction to a lot of female politicians that are out there. But if she wants to include women, she's going to include all of those voices. And even if I don't agree with it, I want all of those voices at the table. She's a brilliant woman. I know she'll see this, but it is my deepest hope that she'll understand how important that is for women moving forward.
Alex, thank you so much for coming on the show today and giving us some wonderful insight into this matter. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how thankful I am to have your knowledge. It just makes me so much smarter.
Well, thank you for having me. And I have to say, thank you for having these conversations. They're not easy and they're important. And I think every time we talk, you force me to think about something new. And it's also just nice to connect to human beings in a really difficult time. And I always feel just so much better. So thank you for having me and I'm really excited for where this project is going.
Well, thank you so much. And we hope to talk to you soon.
All right. Before we get out of here today, we have one more segment for you. Those were the days, COVID edition. Now, Bailey, what is something that you miss doing that you cannot do right now because of COVID?
Oh, man, I feel like this list grows every single day. Like I think about doing something and, oh, no, I can't go do that because A, it's not open, or B, there's too many people, or C, like I just don't want to catch COVID. So I'd rather not even risk it. I think the thing that's like at the top of my list right now is I really miss going to theme parks. And like, obviously it's not safe. And like in California, the cases keep rising daily. It's just insane that, you know, it's even worse now than it was back in March. I can't wait for this all to be over so that I can go back to theme parks and just kind of enjoy my happy place. Like that's where I go when I might be feeling a little down or I want to go hang out with friends. And so that's always kind of like my central hub of activities outside of work. What about you?
Well, there's a lot of stuff I miss doing. I mean, I miss traveling. I miss being able to not wear a mask, step it outside. You know, but the thing I think that I miss the most is just really being around my friends. And I miss going out to eat. I miss hanging out at their houses and things like that. And these are just simply things you can't do because not only are you trying to protect yourself and them, but you know, the potential exposure to like the people that you interact with or that they interact with, like their families, their coworkers, or our families and our coworkers. It's just, I mean, there's a lot of risk involved right now, a lot of unnecessary risk. So I'm looking forward to just really sitting down with, you know, my good friends whenever this is all over and being able to talk about our experiences over the past year and really just kind of moving forward and you know, enjoying each other's time because goodness gracious, this year has been horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yeah, 2020 has been one for the books and not in the way you'd want it to be.
And 2020 made us go, wait, what just happened? Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.